Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening, everybody? How you doing today? Teak and Tierney coming from the Teak and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours. Push button, get mortgage as we roll it out 3 hours. And that's what we're going to do here. Have a little fun, bounce around, kind of keep it normal as it could be. And that's what's on the menu today, as is Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. He's got his new quarterback. That's going to be awesome. Coming up in the third hour, Antoine Winfield, former Minnesota safety. Remember the Golden Gophers at one point, they were making a little noise, maybe making a little push for that national semifinal before they lost that key home game. But he's going to be obviously drafted very highly. We have a lot to do. And Teak, I got to be honest with you, buddy, and it's all good. I'm savvy enough to rebound, but I do think it's a fair assertion to state that so far, and I know I was a little down a couple of days ago, but this is definitely the punch to the middle of the nose that all sports fans felt today. Sweet 16, supposed to start. Opening day.
I forgot about the Sweet 16.
Sweet, you know, baseball, the Masters, 2 weeks from today. Instead, we've got a broad, vast swath of nothingness. What's going on, buddy?
No, it is a bunch of nothingness. The good thing, especially if you're in the Northeast, is it is the most beautiful day of the spring that we've had. And so even if you can't interact with anyone outside, it's good to get outside. My kids have been outside all morning, and, you know, they're out now again. So take advantage of the good weather, even if you have to keep 6 feet apart from any of your neighbors or any of the friends that you might happen to see walking down the street. But, yeah, I saw all the posts last night as opening day for baseball is supposed to get underway. And, again, what makes it worse, BT, is if today was opening day, I don't know if the Yankees or the Mets would have been at home, which one of them would have been at home, but whoever would have been at home, it would have been the absolute perfect day to have opening day, because it is gorgeous outside right now. And here we are stuck inside, at least most of us are, not being able to go anywhere other than locally or down the street.
Is what it is. I do. I have opened the shades in my office, which peers out to our street on the porch of our house, of our home. And I am anticipating within the course of this show, a nice big delivery truck to pull up. And I will instruct them to please put on gloves, which we have for them. And then they will assemble our basketball rim. And we will begin having a little fun with that.
Nice.
So at least we'll be, you know, to bridge it into, just because it is nice. I went for the walk and Jen was out with the kids a little bit in the backyard playing soccer. Actually, Kinsley was in the backyard playing soccer. Colton was punished for a little bit today. So he had his outdoor, at least his AM, AM outdoor privileges revoked. He had to go to his bedroom. You know, what's funny too. And it's, you get to that age and he turned 5 in January. And now there's a little savviness that you start to see, because I remember we sent him to his room. I guess it was about 3 or 4 nights ago, nothing big, but you know, you still have to obviously incorporate discipline clearly. And he's like, cool. He's like, I love my room. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's quick. I remember when Brooklyn hit that point.
When did that happen? Yeah, when did what?
Yeah, she can. When they start flipping it on you, it's not punishment anymore. It's like, all right, I'm going to go play with whoever, whatever toy they have in the room, or do something, and you're not around. So good, I'm good. Thanks for the punishment. I appreciate it.
I had to take down his little Nick's Nerf rim. I went and I got one of his laptops. His little baby, you know, his learning laptops, whatever. The game Simon, where you punch the various colors and you try to remember the sequence. I'm like, I'm taking this. I'm like, buddy, I'll strip this thing down to the nuts and bolts if you keep being a wise ass.
You should have just made him stay. You should have just made him stay. All right, then, forget it. Stay here with me. Exactly. Sit here and say nothing.
That's your real punishment. Stay with daddy.
Don't look at anything. Just stand here and sit right next to daddy for 10 minutes, and then you can go do whatever you want to do.
But it's all good. Spirits are pretty up, and it is a gorgeous day. Obviously, depends upon where you are, but in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily particularly warm, but it does have that spring. It's starting to warm up now, actually. This morning it was a little nippy, but sunny, and it's bright. And that obviously, when you look outside, and we're all confined to our homes as we are, and it's dark, and it's dank, and it's dreary, and it's wet, I mean, you want to talk about the amplification of sadness. It comes fast,
yeah,
right, when it's dark outside?
Yeah, it does, and you start to get despondent and depressed. And just reading the news today, BT, there was a bunch of things that just make you say, man, this we know it's hard times because we can't interact with anyone. We can't go about our normal days of, you know, socializing or going out to dinner. I mean, heck, it's a challenge and a chore to go to the grocery store. And when you do go to the grocery store, I see Tracy come back and she's wiping everything down because there's just this anxiety, this nervousness hanging over. And then you see these numbers that came out from the federal government about unemployment with 3.3 million applications for unemployment this week. It makes you realize that this is real and it's not stopping, right? And some of these people are being put on unemployment. It's temporary, right? Businesses have to shut down. They're not producing anything. They're not selling anything, so they can't continue to pay employees. And so some of these unemployment claims are temporary, and hopefully they solve themselves in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or a month and a half or 2 months, however long this thing goes on for. But it starts to get into your psyche. And we saw this, unfortunately, start to trickle into the sports arena as well. Now, from a player standpoint, we saw players immediately start to realize the power of their dollar. And Kevin Love, I think, was the first one that I remember. He donated $100,000 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know if it was the full-time workers, but certainly the temp workers that patrolled the Quicken Loans Arena.
Yep.
And then you saw other guys do the same thing across the NBA. And we've always had this conversation, like, it feels like the NBA guys make so much money. I mean, when you're talking $30-plus million CEO money, dollars a year, they're just disconnected, right? They can't relate to the regular fan who's making $35,000, $50,000 maybe a year and spending their hard-earned money to come to the games. It feels like they can't relate. They don't understand the life that the regular person is living. Yet it seems that when there's, whether it's with charity or a situation like this, the basketball players jump right in immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's really commendable. The flip side, and we unfortunately saw this with a couple of instances that hit the news today, the Boston Bruins, their ownership decided to lay off a portion of their staff because they're not playing any games, they're not bringing in any revenue, despite the fact that they are personal billionaires company-wide. They see it from a different perspective. And the 76ers had this issue as well. Josh Harris, who was one of their 16 owners, I think he's the face of it, of the ownership group, was contemplating giving 20% salary reductions, asking employees to voluntarily not work or not get paid, but, you know, maybe come in and do the full time of work. And it took Joel Embiid stepping up and publicly making a commitment to not make this happen for Josh Harris and the rest of the ownership group to change their mind. And it makes you question if, you know, we always talk about athletes not being in touch, but we rarely, you know, put the onus on owners, whether or not they're in touch. And they should be, because when you think about who's filling those arenas, who's buying the jerseys? Who's keeping the lights on? It's the fans. Yeah, I know it's the TV deals as well, which is the largest part of it. But if you have a complete disconnect from the fan and you ostracize them in so many different ways, by starting with the employees in the arena, do you think fans are going to willingly turn you on? So it's I don't think this is the norm. I think these are a few exceptions, but it made me change my perception of the NBA player and how connected he is to the fans who make so much less than they do.
They've done a great job. And by the way, not just the NBA, but the NBA, and you're right, pointing out Kevin Love, Zion Williamson jumped on that immediately.
That's right.
For the
smoothie. He's a rookie. I mean, think about that.
Yep. Great awareness, great empathy. I love seeing it. You know, I do think one of the before I actually get into, you know, the owners and that distinct difference, and there is one to be made for sure. You just look at the settings in which they play. You know, not to say that baseball players don't become close with clubhouse attendance, because they certainly do. But you know, the average worker inside of a 50,000 or 48,000 seat baseball stadium, the proximity to the field is pretty far. You know,
it's a good point.
You know, if you're an usher or whatever you are, you're really just not near the diamond. And you look at the NFL, that's even more amplified, 80, 90, 100,000 seat venue. But you get to the NBA, and all these buildings have 17, 18, 19, 20,000 max, far more intimate. You know, just being at all these games in my life, working, and it's mostly working, you realize how many people are right on the court. I mean, each aisle has a security guard, and there's just a great ability to and a looseness, a casual nature to the pregame of the NBA, which probably emboldens and really inspires these NBA players to connect to people that they feel like they know better, probably more so than the baseball and the football player feel that they know their workers or their the people who work in their venues.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like there's an intimacy. Like you actually touch them, you know, in a lot of cases. You know, when the game's over, they actually are on the court, you know?
So
there's a familiarity that's different than I think a lot of sports, like football, for instance. I mean, there was a few of them, the Ushers, that I knew because they were down and we had a tunnel. We walked out through that big tunnel at the old Giant Stadium. So you'd see a few of them here and there and shake their hands and, you know, they congratulate you. But, I mean, in 75, 80,000 seat stadium, there's ushers up in the upper deck I never met, you know. But basketball is a little bit different than that in that regard.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I will say, and listen, Drew Brees is as charitable and as awesome a person as it gets. And he and his wife pledged $5 million for Louisiana, which has taken a real dire turn for the worse. I mean, you just flip on the news for a second, that's pretty much the first thing you get hit with. It's gone really bad there. And this is, I really hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but just to get into the conversation about the billionaire owners versus the millionaire players, you know, Drew Brees went on social media and let the whole world know what he did. And that's his prerogative. Mm-hmm. You know, like he literally tweeted, "My wife and I are donating." So I'm not saying he did it for clicks or for any sort of additional cachet or perception. He's doing it from his heart. There's no doubt. But what about, and I'm asking the question because I don't really know the answer, I'd have to think that there's a multitude of billionaire owners during this epidemic that have stepped forward. They just haven't announced it on social media.
Yeah, but it's one thing to step forward and give philanthropically to like programs, mm-hmm. or to a school lunch program, whatever it may be. But this was only troublesome because it was their employees.
Good distinction.
Right?
A very good distinction.
It's one thing if you're reaching out to these nameless, faceless individuals who are in dire need in a lot of these cases. But these are people that you know, in a sense, who get a paycheck from you. It just felt insensitive. And unfortunately, the 76ers, and I give Josh Harrod a lot of credit, he admitted, like he said publicly, this was a mistake. We are sorry we even contemplated this. And it took, you know, Joel Embiid and Michael Rubin, our friend who's been on the show, imploring him not to do this. And fortunately did. But it comes down to that gut instinct. And sometimes you feel like they're disconnected when they shouldn't be, because these are the people that make the product go in so many different ways. By the way, Woj just tweeted something. This is about an hour ago? No, not even. About 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
The NBA is reducing base salaries by 20% of approximately 100 of the league offices' top earning executives around the world.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, good, but they can afford it. I mean, these guys are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, some of these top executives. That's one thing. It's different when you're, you know, docking the pay of a minimum salary or a part-time employee who's struggling to make ends meet and has no other means and probably no savings to get through this extraordinarily tough time that's going to last another month at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to get into this a little bit more because I think about, you know, all the different cities that Tiki and Tierney were on and we broadcast to and all the great fans in those cities, whether it's college, although that's obviously a bit of a different conversation, but to the pro venues, NFL, baseball, NBA, NHL, all the times you flip that turnstile, all the times that you buy programs and shirts and gear for your kids and a couple of beers and $20 if you're lucky to park and all the things that you spend, disposable income that goes toward a billionaire's product. What is the responsibility of said billionaire in a time like this to redirect that and disperse it back to the community? What is that? What, maybe you don't think there's any. What is that level of responsibility? It's an interesting question. I'm curious. Get some calls on this as well. 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4227. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Something on stadiums, which could be very problematic for the start of the NFL season for three teams. Antoine Winfield Jr., all right, formerly of the Golden Gophers, their outstanding safety will join us in hour two. We got Bruce Arians, now Tom Brady's coach, the head coach of the Bucks in the third hour. And get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4CBS. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Thursday here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. That's 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Hour two, a little draft. We had Justin Jefferson on from LSU yesterday. Today we'll go up against a guy, or we'll get with a guy who very well might be covering him in some near routes, or some routes in the near future, I should say. That's going to be Antoine Winfield, former safety for the Golden Gophers, a nice renaissance season out there for P.J. Fleck and company. So we got Antoine Winfield there. Hour three, Bruce Arians. How different is it coaching Tom Brady from Jameis Winston? Bruce will join us third hour. All right, T. The question about the social responsibility of everybody involved during, at least pertaining to professional sports league during something like this, breaks down to three figures to me. The players, the owners, and the leagues themselves. And to me, really from a league point of view, the main responsibility, the main social responsibility is to deliver clear and transparent updates on the possible direction of the league in terms of what they're thinking.
Yep.
And to not be irresponsible in throwing dates out there like Rob Manfred, you know, a month ago that the season would be delayed 2 weeks, just to have a clear dialogue and to be transparent. That's the for the league, that's my opinion on the league. Would you agree or would you add anything else to that?
No, I think that's right. And I think it's also imperative for the league, like the NFL has done, to keep it balanced across the board. And I didn't think about this until we were talking to Amy Trask yesterday. And, you know, the directive came down that all NFL offices were going to be closed, I think starting yesterday at 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. or whatever it may have been. And to me, it was a safety issue. It's like you don't want people interacting or around each other. But how she positioned it as a fairness issue, because certain states and localities aren't as affected as others with this coronavirus outbreak right now, that it, you know, They could stay, right? They don't have any cases near them or around them. So they could stay at the office and get work done and do their scouting, either, you know, whatever it may have been. But to balance the playing field, the NFL ordered all of them shut. So it was unique and a smart thing for them to do because you do have to keep this thing equitable as everybody tries to figure out what's going on in the next month or so when teams are trying to get back on their field and get back into their regular routines.
Yeah, good job bringing that back from what Amy said. And if you guys missed that interview, yes, it was really good. Amy's always on point. Let's go to TikiandTierney.com, radio.com. Very good stuff there. Apple iTunes, however you download Tiki and Tierney. If you happen to miss it live, by all means, go and get it. Outstanding conversation. We hit a lot of stuff with Amy. For the players, to me, this is pretty simple. If a player chooses to disappear, then that's his right, or that's her right. I think in terms of if you're going to maintain some sort of public presence, the only thing, the only, I guess, level of responsibility you have as a player is to be kind and show empathy. I mean, really, at this point, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's and most of them do. I mean, all I don't say all of them, but a majority of them do have charitable foundations themselves or ones that they're associated with and give to. And in moments like this, and some of this is probably brought on by social media because they see it all, right? They, you know, especially basketball players, they interact more than others, I would guess, with their fans on social media. And so they see it and they hear it all. And they're able to read the room maybe a little bit better than some of these owners are.
Yeah, I also know, we'll get to the owners in a minute just to finish off the third part of that trilogy there. But I know Trevor Bauer, our buddy Trevor, who's incredibly outspoken, and we had him in studio probably a little more than a month and a half or so, about a month or so ago, whatever it was, and he just leveled, you know, Rob Manfred. They've made amends a little bit. I know they've connected a few times, and Trevor's kind of dialed back.
He was going in hard, man.
He was. Trevor kind of dialed back the vitriol a little bit, but I know that Trevor was trying to organize a charity game where you know, just get together as many major league players as humanly possible, pick a destination that's viewed as relatively safe, and everybody contribute whatever they contribute. And that had a little bit of a grassroots or gained grassroots traction on social media. I don't know if they're going to actually be able to do that based on the restrictions in most states at this point.
Yeah.
But the effort was there, which brings us to the owners now. Do billionaire owners literally have a responsibility to take care of their employees and the community? I mean, listen, most sane, you know, good people will say, yes, there is a responsibility. I think what happens is that, and this is not an excuse, this is just the sad reality of when you make billions, you become utterly, in most cases, detached and disconnected from mainstream society. And mainstream society is where the true problems lie, where there's a lack of resources to answer some of those problems. You know, if think about this, if you're rolling with your billionaire friends, God forbid, and one of them's sick, well, you've got the resources and the funds to go and seek the absolute top of the line medical attention.
Yeah.
If you don't have very good insurance or God forbid, no insurance at all, and you've got three or four kids and God forbid, one of them is terminally ill or possibly, where do you turn? I mean, that's where the problems lie. So does an owner have a responsibility to take care of the employees? I would like to think so, and by extension, the communities, but I don't think everybody would answer that a definitive yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, so I think if the owners can find ways to not put the majority of the burden, and it's never going to be the financial majority, but the relative majority of the board burden on the employees, then they're doing the right thing. If this thing goes on for 5 months or who knows how long, if this thing goes into July and NBA owners are hemorrhaging money, even though I'm not sure how they would be, other than the fact that the TV revenues aren't coming in. The expenses are mostly, I think, stopped except for the players. You don't want to pass that on to the employees, and when you do, it's like what are you actually saving? Because I would think, with guys making, say I'm talking about the players making multiple hundreds of millions over the roster, right? What is saving? Maybe it's $1 million in employee salaries. Like what are you actually saving? At the same time, you're cutting trust with those employees and by extension with the community. So yeah, it's to me, it's about being able to read what's happening around you and not just look at numbers. And sometimes I think that's what happens, especially as a business person. You start looking at numbers, and when you start obsessing about the numbers, you make decisions that are unemotional And that's when you get in trouble in a very unusual circumstance like we're all going through right now.
Teek, remember all the thoughts about how much money, and residually, this will be felt for sure at some point. I don't know that it's actually hit the way people think that it has, and I can actually prove that in a second. But when the whole moray with China and the ratings, okay. So there were, you know, bold declarations that the NBA would just hemorrhage money. Well, if you recall, you know, Forbes's annual valuations were out in early February, only a couple of month or so ago, a little more than that. And every NBA team went up, no team went up less than 6% in value, and no team is worth less than $1.3 billion. Mm-hmm. By extension, but for an example here, the Knicks are worth $4.6 billion. James Dolan it's like you and I walking to get to pick up not the newspapers anymore, but I don't know, when our kids were real little, a couple of boxes of diaper and formula and vitamins or something else, for whatever it might be.
Yep.
He made that transaction in the form of $400 million with Steve Ballmer and the Forum Center and the Great Western Forum. My point is if a team like the Knicks, granted, they are first on the list, but nobody's less than $1.3 billion. If they lack the foresight and the sensitivity to strip anybody of even a penny, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how you could possibly justify. I mean, first of all, it's not even a salary. Somebody who's slinging peanuts, what are they making? A couple of $100 a night?
Yeah,
if it's a good night.
If it's a good night. And Samter, I wish we were in studio because Samter could answer it directly, because that's what he did with the Yankees. You know,
get your peanuts here.
So even if you do cut the salary, it's nominal. You know, it's not.
Of course,
it's not making a dent in whatever the issue is. And here's the other thing that I got to believe. That this is temporary. Yes, it's going to suck. There are going to be some months where you're not making profit. In fact, you're probably operating in a loss. But it's recoverable in a business that is multi-billion dollars. Now, it's, what is it, 10, 11? The NBA, billion-dollar business. And as you mentioned, all of these owners do have great resources at their disposal. It's really easy to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easy to do the wrong thing. And I think we're finding that out right now.
Yeah. It's just harder to do the right thing, sadly, when you are nowhere near the people on a daily basis, outside of a superficial, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You're like, you know, when you go to a game and en route to the owner's luxury suite.
Well, maybe that's part of it, BT. They don't see him enough.
I mean, that's
I'm
saying.
I'm just kind of guessing. Maybe you don't see him enough. If you know that, you know, XYZ Usher and he's got a wife who's, you know, has some illness or is, I don't know, whatever the situation may be. If you know the circumstances of a person, it's harder to be callous with them.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think there's a distinction between being callous and, again, just being disconnected from the reality of other people's reality, those people who
and
have,
I think that's more what
you
it
know
is.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Now, are there a few miserly owners out there who probably say, I'm keeping every penny? Mm-hmm. I'm sure. But I like to give the nod to humanity and say, listen, most of us are good. Most of us are rooted in good. And yeah, maybe they didn't make that big time charitable donation to Charity X. But is it because they're cheap? Because there's maliciousness or a lack of empathy? No, they're probably just not paying attention to what the little person in their world is being swallowed up by right now. And the onus is on them to change that. But there is a difference between being mean or just being unaware. And you'd like to see that unawareness gap close eventually. And maybe it will. Maybe this is what it takes to do it, you know? All right. Hey, how about that Chargers logo? I mean, the Rams logo that came out the other day. That was pretty interesting. I mean, confusing, huh? Well, a Rams legend fighting the team to change the new logo. It's Inbounds, Out of Bounds. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney back here. Hopefully everybody's hanging in there. Getting through another day, grinding, getting your grind on. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, at least a partial version on the tube. On the tube, that's right. Antoine Winfield, Hour 2. Former Minnesota Golden Gopher safety. We've got Bruce Arians coming up in hour number 3. We're going to get to inbounds, out of bounds here in a moment. I've got to share my opening day story a little later, Teague. I've got to get that in. Don't forget, okay?
No, I definitely will not.
There will be some details that I just will simply have to spare for my sake and for my family's sake and for our radio show sake. And I'll condense it. It's mostly good and really fun, but an opening day story. Hey, it's supposed to be opening day. I think it's okay to share an opening day story. So we'll squeeze that in a little later. You ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds, Teague? See what we got cooking?
I am. Let's hit it.
Okay, here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. So after leaks of the Rams' new logo received backlash, that's being kind from fans, the team went ahead and officially released the logo anyway. Now, however, a former team legend is speaking up for the fans. Hall of Famer ED, Eric Dickerson, who rushed for over 7,000 yards in just over four seasons with the team alone, tweeted out, "Fans, I reviewed your comments regarding our new logos and share in your disappointment. I'll be speaking with the Rams on our behalf." End tweet. In or out, the Rams should go back to the drawing board and change their logo.
This is easy, BT, inbounds. Now, I have, most of the time, believe that when things like this get leaked, quote, it's like a test. So let's put this out there, see what people's reaction is. Now, the fact that it was so close to the season makes me doubt that a little bit in this instance, but this logo looks horrible for the Rams. The nose is kind of like phallic in a sense. It's kind of weird, man. So if I'm the Rams, I got to change this because if I was a fan, I wouldn't buy merchandise that had this on it.
Mm. Oh boy, do I want to change it? Listen, I'm not going to go back to the drawing board at this point. First of all, that's probably not practical, just based on. You know, you want to have this rolled out.
You keep last year's. You can do it again.
I guess you could do that. Sure. No, you could definitely do that. The one that's really bad, there's four of them. It's the font for LA Rams is pretty cool. It's very 1970s-ish. I think it's got a nice retro touch. I like that. I didn't even really notice the phallic nature. Now I'm looking at it here. But I'm even okay with that, with the Rams horns and... That's okay. The one thing that is just really bizarre is where it says L.A. and then it looks like a C where the horn is part of the A and it's wrapped beneath the lower portion of the letter L. That one you could do away with. They unveiled four logos or four different looks. Keep the three. Go back to the drawing board on the other one. It just looks like the L.A. Chargers. It looks like a C.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So... I mean, yeah, that's a problem. Listen, you have to listen to your people at some point. They're the ones who are reaching into their pocket. So, again, I'm not going all the way back to the drawing board, but I'm going to delete that one that everybody hates, and I'll go back to the board for that one. Yeah.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, speaking of logos, the NFL is considering changes to its one helmet rule prohibiting teams with donning alternate designs. I'll tell you, they get so stuffy with this stupid stuff. Something. What's the damn deal if you have five different helmets? Who cares? Wouldn't you think that would be so cool? What is the problem?
And the reasoning, and you'll say it here in a second. Helmet safety? Come on.
Yeah. Helmet safety, sure. They had these rules in the 80s where they didn't care about helmets and they didn't care about heads.
Yep.
Mostly to ensure continuity, as Tiki said, for helmet safety. While the league said there won't be changes in 2020, there are ongoing discussions for the 2021 season to allow teams to wear a variety of different helmets throughout the season. This would mean that the Bucs could bring back their famed helmet. What is that? The Bucco? I don't even know what that is. Bucco Bruce? I guess that is. Well, Mike,
Bucco,
what is that?
Bucco Bruce.
But why is it spelled?
I don't know.
No, that's my... that's true. I'm B-U...
Yeah, who knows?
It is B-U-C-C. It looked like... that's my bad. I read it wrong. The Bucco Bruce helmet and the creamsicle unis for a game or two. Or the Pats could bring back the Patriot Pat helmets. I like those with the Patriot with his hand, like three-point stance. Yeah, that's a cool. The red, white, and blue ones are really sweet. I think John Hanna, I think that era, right? All right. In or out, Tony Eason. It is a good idea for the NFL to allow teams to wear multiple helmets each year.
I think this is inbounds, BT, because from a merchandising standpoint, it gives fans something else to latch onto. And... In a league that's all about sales and merchandise, why not? And I never understood it because it seems like every other decision that the NFL makes, really all these leagues make, is about finding other streams of revenue. This is logical just to find another stream of revenue. And then I did it with jerseys. Remember back in the day, like the Giants used to have that red jersey.
Those are horrible.
They were horrible. We never won in them either. So I think they stopped wearing those about 6-7 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a way to make more money.
Yeah. So
why not?
Right? I don't get it. I like it. I am all for, you know, a sweet home, a sweet road, an alternate, you know, mix it a second. I don't know if you need 5 helmets, but,
No.
paying homage to your past, maybe come up with something a little futuristic and have the nice hybrid one.
No doubt.
Yeah, to me, this is easy. Inbounds, especially now in the era of social media where this would gain so much traction. It's a no-brainer. Of course, it's a good idea.
And think about like, I'm trying to think. So say you want to honor the Giants 86 Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And so you get Lawrence and you get Phil. You get all these guys to come back.
Yep.
How about that game? You wear those uniforms.
I love it.
I mean, that'd be awesome. Of course. It'd be unbelievable.
I think it's really cool. A really good way to tie the past to the now. It's a no-brainer.
That's right.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Dee, a little hoops for you. As the NBA season hangs in the balance, many injured players are getting a reprieve that they can return this season rather than having to wait until the 2021 season. One of those players is Wizards star and former number one overall pick John Wall. Now, the former Wildcat hasn't played in over 14 months after he ruptured his Achilles, and some thought he was on schedule to return this summer once the NBA resumes. However, GM Tommy Shepard has put that to rest, saying, quote, "We can't wait until John plays next season, and I think that will be our stance. I don't think any of this changes," end quote. In or out, John Wall will still be an all-star caliber player when he finally returns.
I got to say, out of bounds at this, BT. He's getting a little up there in age. Coming back from that Achilles injury will sap what he was best at, which was accelerating and being, you know, a jet on the floor. You couple that with the fact that there's some young kids at his position that have just started to skyrocket.
That's true. Trae Young.
Exactly.
And
forget like the Devin Booker of the world. Exactly. Like, there's just there's so much more competition than a year and a half ago when he was last playing. So I'm going to say out of bounds of this.
Oh, I'm going to definitely, I'm going to say out of bounds as well. Now listen, if he had a jump shot before he got hurt,
yeah,
I'd say okay.
It's a good point.
Okay. I mean, but he just was really, outside of really one season back in 2017-2018, that wasn't that long ago, but that was really his only big-time year shooting the three. It was 37%. But the follow-up year before he got hurt, 32 games, 30%. You know, the year before the big season, relatively big, he was 32%, 35%, 30% over 79 games, you know, 5 years into his career. He's a career 32% three-point shooter, so, I don't see it. I mean, there was a point where he was the fastest from, you know, one baseline to the other, 94 feet, nobody had more zip. That's going to be compromised, and if that's compromised, which I think we all know it will be, he becomes a very different player, and that secondary skill set is inferior, so my answer is no.
Are you in or are you out?
While the NCAA season was cut short, Dayton superstar sophomore Obi Toppin was named the AP Player of the Year after pumping in 20 points and 8 boards for the Flyers. Now Toppin has officially declared for the draft and is expected to be a top 10 pick, with some having him top 5, while others put him closer to 11 or 12. In or out, Toppin will be an impact all-star caliber player in the NBA.
Tough one. Really, really tough one. So he's not huge. So he's 6'9". He's not like he's 6'11" or, you know, a 7-footer. So he's a real rim protector or a rim runner. I don't want to say he's a tweener. He doesn't have a shot, so he's got to play in the post. But that game is starting to – it's kind of going away in the NBA. And if he develops a shot – I'm going to say out of bounds. I like the kid. He's athletic. He had some unbelievable dunks last year. But it's hard to determine against, you know, elite competition. Dayton's one thing, but against Dayton's schedule is one thing. Against elite competition, is he still going to be that player? without having seen it, and that's one of the terrible things about losing the NCAA tournament. We don't get to measure these guys against other greats in college basketball. I'm going to say out of bounds.
You know, I don't worry too much about the competition. I mean, John Morant, this time last year was doing his thing.
John Morant's a freak athlete.
Well, so was Obi Toppin. What, are you kidding me? He might be more of a freak than John Morant athletically. Now, Morant had, court vision as a point guard, some things that are superior to Toppin. I'm not saying Toppin's going to have the immediate impact, but my answer is I'm going to say inbounds. There's a big difference between being an all-star and being a superstar. And by the way, I know it's college and okay, whatever. Shot almost 40% from behind the arc. And it's a deliberate release, which he's going to have to speed that up. And when you speed up the mechanics, things usually go a little south statistically. So he's going to have to reboot that a little bit.
There's a lot of great players, BT, that don't make the all-star team.
I understand that. No, I get it. Or just settle for wide open shots like Sean Marion because Sean had a funky. And listen, Toppin's three is not like Sean Marion. I mean, that was from the belt buckle. It was crazy.
It's like, dude, take your time, man. Take your time.
Like him though, Teak. I like Toppin. I like him. I think he's going to be an all star. I don't disagree that his draft, where he goes, is going to provide dilemmas for some teams. But my answer is yes, he will be an all star at some point. I like him.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
And of course, that edition of Inbounds, Out of Bounds brought to you by the new TracFone Wireless. New unlimited talk and text smartphone plan starting at $20 per month. No contract.
Obi Toppin's dad was a well-known street baller.
Obi-Wan?
In Brooklyn. His name was Obadiah.
Obadiah.
He sounds like a badass.
Sounds like he just jumps out of the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
It just sounds like he's got sick hops.
His nickname was Dunker's Delight.
Okay. All right. Coming up, three teams, Teak, hoping to play in new stadiums this year in the NFL. But could that be in doubt now? The answer is yes. We'll discuss how much. Hour two coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.